from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
The Yankees and baseball, MLB, around. We got to get to the Yankees stuff. I can't believe I looked at the calendar. Damn, we are a month out from spring training. Basically, 27, 28 days till pitchers and catchers are reporting to Florida. And then about 6 days after, the rest of the team will go down there and get it on as far as spring training and get ready versus the Tigers at the end of February. I can't believe time has flown this fast. I can't believe it. But finally, it's gotten done. DJ LeMahieu signs a 6-year deal. We got Corey Kluber for a 1-year deal. We're going to talk about this. Where does that leave Tanaka? What is up with that? Well, we have Suzanne from Bleeding Yankee Blue. Of course, Bleeding Yankee Blue, the blog spot for Yankee fans to discuss it, the perspective from the fans. Susie Prof on Twitter, Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. How you doing, Suzanne? How's everything?
What's going on, Steve? All is well. I know. I looked at the calendar myself and shook with delight, and I'm a little nervous because we're not done yet, right? I mean, we've done, like, to your point, some really great moves this week. We needed those, but we're not done yet. So I shake with delight, and I also shake with fear that we've got a few more deals to kind of pull through before we step into spring training.
Without a doubt, absolutely. This should be no surprise. Let's start with DJ LeMahieu. I mean, the question, since we had you on for our annual Christmas episode, what took so long? Like you said, give him blank check, whatever he wants. It finally got done, so that is off your back. What's your thoughts after that finally officially went through?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the deal, I mean, not all the terms have been released, but if you look at the deal at face value, we're talking – what is it, like $15 million a year over the next 6 years or so, you know, bonuses and whatnot that he'll get. And that keeps the Yankees, under the salary cap, gave them enough money to offer Kluber that $1 million. And now we need to get a Kluber-like pitcher in that range. I think it came down to being able to spread the money out over a period of time so that they could come in and, pay others and then save some in reserves. I mean, you know, if you hear the chatter on Twitter, they're like, the Yankees, you know, have unlimited dollars. So why wait? To your point, like, what were we waiting for? We almost lost him. I don't think that was the case. I think they, you know, if that was the case, you would have seen more aggressively, DJ LeMahieu shopping, if you will, or his agent shopping for him. I think it was just a matter of working out the terms, the number of years, and how much salary he would get each year over the next several years with bonuses and other things. So I think it really came down to that. We as fans were impatient, I being one of them. And was like, just like, tell us that you're signing him and then figure out the details later, because the rest of us were like anxious all through, essentially October, November, December until like this week. Right. So it would have been nicer. But I think a lot of that dealing that was happening was lawyers and terms and things like that. And luckily it all on our side. You notice, I mean, you know, Boone didn't seem nervous. Like no one seemed nervous but the fans, because we were left in the dark. We didn't know what was going on. But I think DJ had always intended on staying with the Yankees. Kudos to them for getting it done and getting it done the way they wanted to get it done. Just wish it didn't take so long. Did I lose you? Hello?
Now, what about Kluber? As far as how much after being traded to Texas from Cleveland and him being out with that injury, I love Corey Kluber when he was on the Cleveland Indians. And he was one of those type of guys like, damn, that's a big money pitcher that I wish the Yankees had. Those those years, about 2016-ish, 17-ish. But what about this version of Corey Kluber, what he could bring to the Yankees in 2021? How do you figure as far as, you know, coming off the injury and his approach and getting used to, you know Gary Sanchez behind the plate and a new catch and just hasn't pitched in a year. So more than a year, if that. What's your thoughts on Corey Kluber?
Yeah, so I have a couple of thoughts. I hope he's not an A.J. Burnett, right? I mean, I always worry about somebody coming to New York after being at smaller market teams. You know, certainly New York is like no other place. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've liked him. I've always liked the way he pitched. I always felt like he had like a professionalism about him. I've always wanted him to be part of the team. I know Cleveland loved him. But to your point, he had been injured over the years. And, hey, listen, I'm willing to give the guy a fresh start. It's only a one-year deal. If it tanks, it's 1 year. It certainly he could not be worse than Paxton has been, quite frankly. And, you know, and hopefully he's not like a head case like Burnett and he can pull through. But, I mean, he seems to kind of command himself in a way that I think people still fear him, batters still fear him, and he has a lot of leadership qualities that I think, you know, ultimately will help us. I mean, keep in mind, we won a series with Burnett, and he was really good mm-hmm. when we needed him to be in the postseason. So if Kluber can go out there and give us, you know, 5-6 innings every start and, you know, kind of throw a lot of ground balls, which is, you know, what he's known for, then great. I think mm-hmm. I think he gets us to a place where we want to be. But if he's not able to kind of keep things in check, I mean, you know, like CC Sabathia. CC Sabathia had to reinvent himself. We all knew how he needed to pitch and, it, you know, how to keep himself in check. And he did, you know, he did have a number of extra years. Now, I'm not comparing him. I'm comparing more of like the seasoned pitcher kind of person in Kluber, like just knowing himself and his ability to pitch. I mean, I hear you, Sanchez. I just, you know, I'm disgusted with him. That's just like another whole episode and a half for me, but I'm happy with it. I think it's a good move for the Yankees.
Yeah, he's very professional. He's got a game pitch mentality, one of the better ones we've had in the American League over the last 7-8 seasons. But what I really love about him and just having him for this 1 year and giving him a chance to. He doesn't even have to be the man. We already know because is going to be the Gerrit Cole. And he was the man on the Cleveland Indians staff. Now, the beauty of this, and I think we can agree, you already attested to this, is he is a guy who's going to get a lot of ground balls. See, that's the beauty of when these older pitchers get older, you don't have to rely on ass. You don't have to rely on 98, 99 mile per hour pitches. That was never really his forte. His thing was about those sliders and sinker ball pitches. His thing was always about getting the ball, keeping the ball down right above the strike zone, low enough it'll be a low strike, and you either gonna have to swing and hit for it, and you're probably gonna ground out, or you might be frozen at the plate with a backwards K. So Kluber usually is a slider, sinker ball pitcher. He'll use a cutter. He never really threw gas. You know, AJ Burnett was a gas guy. So I like this. I really do like this a lot, and I think he will be motivated after. In Texas, having the chance to get a ring with the Yankees, and the Yankees are due for that. We're going to talk about that because I see all these arbitrations, Susie Puff, and it's like all the opportunity of I've said over the years here on this platform, the Yankees had to at least get one. We have to get one this year. There's no way around it. I mean, we have to get one every year because we're Yankee fans, but all the arbitration deals, these one-year deals, and, I mean, you talked about Sanchez. I think we're at a point, Susie Prof, we have to cash in because the window and guys want to get paid. And that time is pretty much up now. But as far as Corey Kluber, yeah, he could just add him to the mix. And if you want to talk about, you know, what has that done for a guy like Tanaka, who I don't think he wants a long-term deal. He's still out there. I don't know if the Yankees want to pursue that. I don't know if you know anything about that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, did you see on Twitter, I think it was he posted in the last week, Tanaka himself in Yankee Stadium in a Yankee shirt holding a Yankee hat. And I think, you know, Tanaka wants to be a Yankee. Tanaka has been one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last several years. I mean, really, since he came into the system. But unless he's willing to cut his salary and go for a one-year deal, he's not coming back to the Yankees. Now, maybe he's going to go back and pitch in Japan. He has talked about, like, missing his family. There was at one point thoughts that he would move out to the West Coast and pitch for the Angels or pitch for a team out there. You know, that never came to anything. But unless he's willing to take a pay cut, the sun won't come out for Tanaka in the Bronx anyway this year.
Yeah, so theoretically, you're saying if it's a one-year deal, we're talking about for him, maybe $13 to $15 million is about his price, his market value?
Uh-huh, yeah.
If he wanted to return, if you're talking about, if I'm the Yankees, I would do that. Now, if he's willing to agree with that, then we got to do. So we'll have to see what happens.
Exactly.
Because you already see where I'm going with this Susie problem. We need a ring, man. We need a chip. And last year left a bad taste in our mouths as far as how that panned out. I think we should just – I mean, if you're Yankees upper management, you got to go all in, man, as much as you want to go in. I know Yankees still have one of the highest payrolls in the league, but it just doesn't feel like the – I mean, of course, it just feels like George's team because George is no longer here. I don't feel that urgency like how George had it with, you know, now, you know, one of his sons is still there being gone. Now, it's just that urgency of just, okay, win at all costs. We have it, but it's not to that level where George is. That's kind of where I think a lot of Yankee fans are hated by as far as
fans in the
league.
It's not the same game. It's not the same game. I love George. You know what? I love George because he went out and won championships. He went out and sought a player, and he said, get it done, right? But it's not the same time. It's not the same game. And it's just like, you know, like when you maybe your parents or whatnot, they started at a job. Maybe they started at a job right out of high school. They retired at that job. They stayed with that job their whole life. You know that. That's not the case now. I mean, we switch jobs. We move from one place to the next. Companies change. They get bought out. They change their business plan. You're not part of it, you know, sometimes. So it's just not the same game. Now, with that said, I like where you're going with that, because there was something fierce about the Yankees management in the way that they went after players. You know what? They wanted Reggie Jackson. Boom, they got him. They wanted Dave Winfield. Boom, they got him. You know, they got the essential pieces to make the team and make the team strong and make it a dynasty. But then, like, if you look, you know, through the years, the Derek Jeters growing up with the system, other players kind of coming through. And, yeah, you know, they brought in that, like, head honcho, that heavy hitter, you know, to kind of, like, put us over the edge. But right now, I mean, the heavy hitter that put us over the edge that was supposed to be Giancarlo Stanton. And that didn't happen.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just a different game. And it's come down to specialist pitchers that can pitch, and they have their certain number of pitches and their type of pitches, and they can get the job done, and they're fierce about it. And then there's the consistent hitters. We don't even have the good fielding that we had in the 70s and 80s. I mean, I remember turning double plays like they were nothing. Like, you know, Greg Nettles turning a double play, like making magic happen. We don't see that. I mean, Gio Urshela has been the only guy that has excited me since, you know, guys like Schmidt and Nettles, the ones that could really, like, play the hot corner. We don't have people like that anymore. And if we do, it's, like, short-lived. They're worried about the money. Like, even Manny Machado. I didn't think he was all that. I still don't think he's all that. But he got the big money. Bryce Harper. I didn't think he was all that. I still don't think he's all that. But he got the big money. So they go where the money is. They don't stay with the team forever and ever. They don't, you know. But Tanaka, I mean, Tanaka's kind of old school. So to your point, Steve, is he the guy? Is he the Kluber-like salary that we need? Or are we going to go after somebody like Joe Musgrave, who's over in Pittsburgh, which we've dealt with before? We've had some good trades with him over the with the Pirates over the years, or even his teammate Jameson. It's like Talion or whatever, T-A-I-L-O-N, Talion. Are we going to go get one of those pitchers and then groom them, and then they become the next best, you know, pitcher that we found? I mean, Gerrit Cole was living in Pittsburgh for a while and doing his thing, and then you know, he went where the money went as well, and who was willing to pay. So I don't know, the fierceness of that game where there was big dollars and unlimited money and agents that weren't as savvy as they are today, that game is not the same game today.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. No doubt about that. And you're right. I got to be fair. I don't want to sound like the Yankees have not done anything when we just looked at last year. And Gerrit Cole, they wanted Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole wanted the Yankees. Boom, it happened. So that did happen. But I guess more to my point was, okay, you got the Gerrit Cole. You add on to Gerrit Cole. And, you know, you added Corey Kluber, who's kind of – he's kind of still has some miles left, I believe. But you add – or you keep adding more, so you can't add no more. And maybe there's, like you said at the start of this episode, I think there are a lot more moves to be made. There has to be, because it's just, you know, it's definitely just not it. You know, retaining somebody we already have and getting the guy from your deal coming off a serious injury. So, yeah, I think there's definitely needs to be more, but it needs to be more because we have to talk about all the stuff that's happened with the arbitration. You know, you already started puking, mentioning even Gary Sanchez's name, you know, with his arbitration, and Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge and Frazier. Like, these guys are on these deals. Like, you know, this is the time to cash in. Like, what is your thoughts as far as how that happened and how that panned out with the ARBs?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, what I was reading, you know, more recently is, you know, there's the arbitration. Yeah, you pay these guys, and it sickens me, quite frankly. And then you have, like, guys like, you know, Luis Castillo that's been, you know, dancing around Twitter like, oh, are we going to go after him? And I just, you know, read that the Reds were looking for Gleyber Torres. So now what? Like, do we start to, like, deal some of these younger players? Do we, you know, because what's going to happen is, you know, eventually everybody's going to be up for a free agency, and we're going to have to go through these conversations with these agents and start putting up some big bucks. We have a number of them. I mean, we just gave contracts, one-year deals, you know, to Luke Voit, to Clint Frazier, you know, we even got Judge, right? Judge, we're trying to avoid arbitration next year. So, I mean, it's a racket, Steve. But again, to your point and to what I was saying earlier, is we didn't have to play that kind of game back then. George didn't play that game. That game wasn't a thing back then. You know what I mean?
Right. I got you. Oh, yeah, definitely got you. So, yeah, I mean, with the Yankees heading into 2021, we'll definitely, when spring training gets in, we'll look at it, because, you know, like we do every year, you know, around the diamond and out in the outfield, and how we're looking at pitching and how this team is looking within, you know, versus the rest of, you know, the AL East, and, you know, from inside out perspective. But let me ask you this, just in general, like, you're so in tune with the Yankees for so many decades. Just on paper right now, in general, are you confident going into 2021 with what we had, building off of what we have versus how it ended last year? Where is the confidence level for Susie Proff?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet because, quite frankly, we're not done. I mean, we needed DJ LeMahieu. We got him. Okay, good. Whew. We needed another pitcher. All right, great. We got Kluber. We discussed. We don't know what he's going to be like. I mean, I feel like, you know, again, based on, you know, his past practice and where he's been pitching and how he's sort of reinvented himself, we're going to see a lot of ground balls, and that's going to be good, and it's going to get us into the later innings. But we need more pitching. I mean, let's face it, Severino's not going to be ready. All right? I don't even want to say this name, but I'm going to say it quickly, and I know the Yankees haven't said much about him.
I know.
But Herman,
I don't know
what that's all about. I don't know what that rotation really is going to be at this point. I mean, is Montgomery going to be back? Is he going to be back the way we thought he was going to be before he got injured? I don't know these things. There's too many question marks around pitching, and it's been pitching, and it's been pitching. Because if you have a pitcher that is consistent, that has control, that can pitch through tough innings, you don't need that many runs. Really? You don't need that many runs. If you have a pitcher that has and a bullpen that has control, where you can hand it off to the bullpen with a decent amount of control in a game, you don't need that many runs. So if you look at the Yankees' ability to hit and hit home runs, we shouldn't have to battle these games with 9, 10 runs in a game. We shouldn't, because there should be amount of control that's in place. Is everybody allowed a bad day? Yes, everybody's allowed a bad day. But for the most part, we just don't have pitching consistency that allows us to stay in games. And then we wind up giving away some games that we need to really have. So we can't lose junky games to junky teams. We can't. Like I was saying that a couple of years ago, when we would, like, everybody else would lose, would beat the living crap out of Baltimore, and we would lose. And we would lose. Oh, you know, it's because it's cold, and, you know, it's just, you know, April baseball, it really stinks, and, you know, no, we lose to junky teams, and then we put ourselves in a bad position. So, Steve, I'm not comfortable. I'm not going to be comfortable until I get a pitching staff that I feel has the consistency that is going to move us, you know, into games where we don't have to kill our offense to come back in these games. You can't do that game after game after game. You can't expect Aaron Judge to save the day every single game, or Luke Voit save the day every single game. You've got to have those guys be able to go 2-for-4, 2-for-5. They shouldn't have to be expected to go 5-for-5, 4-for-4, or a hit for the cycle in order to win. They should be able to get key base hits. Think about it. Derek Jeter, he got key base hits. But we had the pitching to back us up. That's the pitch, right? That's the kind of pitching that we need to have. It's like the consistent arm of an Andy Pettitte that would keep us in games, that would give us a lot of pitches and keep us in games and keep you know, people from you know, hitting the ball all over the field or roughing us up. Because that doesn't bode well for us either. Because if we're running all over the field and trying to dive and make plays, what happens? We get hurt. Can't do that. Can't bang up a team every single night.
I mean, and to your point, there were some games last year coming back from COVID where the middle relief got so roughed up. I remember it was the one game, I think they were playing the Blue Jays in Buffalo, and they gave like a 10 spot. Like, that's not we're not used to, especially with the middle relief. And that goes to the question, okay, so if you look at what we have on paper, starting-wise, you know, Gerrit Cole's at the top of the, you know, he's a clear-cut number one, no doubt, right? And then, like you said, with Montgomery and where he's going to be, I don't know the answer to that, but I always think about Montgomery. He's no higher than number three on a starting rotation, okay? I'm not even going to mention Herman yet because I know he's kind of been pitching down in the Dominican Republic, but I believe he's available until I actually know he's available, so I'm not even going to count him. And you mentioned Luis Severino. I mean, that may be a guy – I'm not counting on him as this clear-cut starter. He hasn't even shown the durability to go through a full season in a minute. So I don't even know what the plans would be for him. So the question actually goes back to what we were talking about Tanaka, and especially what I've been saying as far as – all your chips to the middle of the table. Are we going all in? We might as well get Tanaka and just sure starting rotation. Or if we're not going to go back after Tanaka for whatever money he wants on a short-term deal, do we find a way to maximize the middle relief, whatever is out there? Like, how would you want to approach it? You want to get strong, start signing guys as far as middle relief, or do you want to get Sherin on the front end with a Tanaka, who we know has been fantastic the last several years? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, do you go with who you know and sign that guy, or do you part ways? I mean, there's a lot to be said for keeping with that guy that has been good and consistent over the years. If he's willing to, if he's willing to take the pay cut again. But here's the thing, you know, then there's the other side of, okay, so go over the luxury tax. Give him a short-term deal, go over the luxury tax, and you know what? If he pitches well, then next year, you know what? You give him a longer contract and see what happens. But you know what? Honestly, sometimes fresh blood does do a lot for a team. When you start to, like, piece by piece put together a pitching staff, or piece by piece you put together an infield, where you start to, like, really be more like the George Steinbrenner of, like, you know what, I'm putting these pieces together. Because, or you know, you can go completely radical and do what the Oakland A's did with Bean all those years ago, where they started to, like, put people together.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know that I don't like to play the numbers like that, because I think we write people off when you don't see them get on base, or they go through a streak and, you know, whatever. And I think that there's a lot of great guys out there that deserve a chance. But here's the thing, Steve. Like, if we go with Tanaka, then we've got, okay, you know, we've got Cole. All right, we've got Kluber. We've got Tanaka. Okay. That means we got to assume that Kluber and Tanaka are going to perform. And then we've got two more slots available. There's still question marks there. There's still, like, is Montgomery going to perform? Do we put him in the four slot? What about, like, Mike King? Or do we go into where we flip it and we go with an opener role? Then you got to get creative, because then you start to say every fifth day we're screwed, or every fourth day we're screwed. I mean, then we started to get into, like, oh, God, it's the Sonny Gray pitching. I might as well not even turn the game on tonight. You know, I don't want to be that fan that has got to be anxious once we get through, you know, the first of the rotation and the second of the rotation. We start to get into game three of a series, and I got to start worrying because my game three pitcher has been, you know, stinking it up. So I just feel like, some consistency. I mean, is Deddy Garcia that guy? Is he ready? Can he do it? Maybe.
I don't think so yet.
But he might not be ready, right?
I still need to see more. He may not be ready. Right. I don't think he's on his way, but not quite there is my point.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, do we, you know, now, I, you know, I, it's like, I see, like, the Nationals now are like, you know, talking to John Lester. Well, oh my God. So now the Nats are like beefing up their pitching again. And we know with Scherzer there and Strasburg, you know, they're beefing their pitching up. I mean, they won because they had good pitching. I mean, sure, did the hitters hit? Yeah, they hit in key situations. But you did it, to your point, Steve, overtax your offense every single night and rely on offense after offense to get, like, pitch, get us out of hot water with our pitchers. You just can't do that. It's just we're not going to dominate games every single night. It's not like the NHL. It's not like the NBA. It's not like football. We play every day. We play every day. And, you know, we could go 10 days in a row without a break. You can't expect Luke Voit or Aaron Judge to play all 10 games and go 4-for-4. It's not happening.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah. And
you gotta have
exactly
good
to the point. You're right. I mean, it's basically to the both points we've been saying, because for signing even DJ LeMahieu, getting him back, because he's the glue piece of getting this whole offense jump started. Because without him, this offense is just not going to be where it needs to be on an optimum level. And we, you know, like you said about Giancarlo Stanton and his injury woes, I just don't count on him being there every year, every day, until I actually see it. It is crazy because it was never like that before, you know, not to this degree before he left Miami. So we have a lot of question marks, and we'll address a lot of these question marks, especially right before spring training, and we'll discuss these things item by item. We'll have a list, and we'll get right to it right before spring training versus the Tigers. But any final thoughts, Susie Prof, this free agency period, not just for our team, but the rest of the league? Anything you want to add on to our team as far as you want to bring it up? And any articles and content coming out? I see the tweets going on fire over there. I believe in Yankee Blue. So anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah.
Content complaint.
Well, I mean, yeah, I talked about, you know, some people that are out there. This past week, I wrote a piece about, over the weekend, I guess, it's already Monday. I wrote a piece about, you know, what was being talked about on CBS Sports, and Joel Sherman's been pretty active and talking about, like, who's actually available, right? And I mentioned right-hander Joe Musgrove and his teammate over there, Jameson Taillon, being available. Phillies, Vincent Velasquez is available. We'd have to give up, you know, some folks, you know, if we were going to move in the trade route, which would be like a Clint Frazier, a Miguel Andujar, even a Mike Tauchman could be part of that kind of trade. But if we're going to go with, you know, more of the free agents that would be in line with the Yankees' budget, I mean, Adam Wainwright is still kicking around. Jose Quintana is kicking around. We could be going after guys like Jake Odorizzi or Rizzi. We could be going with some of these. Yeah, he's available. I mean, he's a twin. We've played him. He's been consistent. I mean, is he stellar? No, but he could do what we need him to do over that period of five innings in a consistent way. And he's young. So, I mean, you know, I think he's 30. So at this point, you know, we have some free agents that would fit in our budget that we could go after, that we could spin up to Yankee caliber and be like a third or fourth starter. And then you start to get more comfortable and you get some games under your belt. I don't see us going after any more position players at this point. I think we need to learn how to play with the players that we have. I worry about the errors in the field. I worry about Gleyber Torres playing shortstop. I know that there's been some buzz about bringing back D.D. Gregorius. I don't know if that ship has already sailed, But, Steve, to your point, these next few weeks are going to be critical. The hot stove is not done burning, and we're going to get some more news of some more trades and maybe some other things that, you know, Brian Cashman kind of has, you know, up his sleeve, which he – listen, my money's on him because that guy, I don't know how he's like – he's put together like a steak dinner from like, you know, a dollar budget. So, you know, my eye's on him in trying to pull something else out of a hat to keep us under the salary cap and to give us those few additional fixtures that we might need that make us the strongest team in the American League.
You are absolutely correct, and thank you very much for your commentary on that and the way you said that. Because I want to also say, and I'll cap it off, and we'll just close this episode, and thank you very much. Brian Cashman, I can't say any more great things as far as how he has managed the rebuild, and I think that goes a long way because teams don't usually recover from rebuilds, especially high-power franchises like Yankee caliber. I mean, you have to, you still have to do a job as far as managing your assets and managing well. And I think that period, I know there's some bad signings. We're not going to get on. To this day, we're still paying Jacoby Ellsbury. So, yeah, there's been bad signings, of course. But, and then if you even want to add on, and you can put an asterisk next to Giancarlo Stanton's name until he actually has that productive Yankee moment that's actually going to deliver us a chip. You can put his name in as an asterisk next to Ellsbury. But overall, we've had kind of done fairly. We just have been, 10, 11 seasons since the last World Series championship in 2009. So the whole point, like you said, Susie Prof, is just he's been managing the assets the way they wanted to manage the budget. That's why I go back to ownership. How badly does ownership want to win when it comes to, okay, you're ready to get to the luxury tax part of it? Do you want to go over the top? Does the championships mean that much? That's where we as fans kind of have to ask the owners that, hey, do you want to go that route? Do you not want to go that route? Because it's their money, and I'm not the type of person to tell other people to do with their money, but if you really want to win that bad, that's what it's going to take, man, in 2021. So, Susie Prof, thank you very much. Bleeding Yankee Blue, Susie Prof on Twitter, Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. And Susie Prof, we'll be back right before spring training. We'll get into all these, maybe in a couple of weeks, actually. We'll get into, like, around the diamond, analyze what happened last year to this year. I'm still kind of not over last year, man, on how we went out versus Tampa Bay. Susie Prof in San Diego. Are you finally over it, or are you still pissed like me?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not over it. You know what helped me a little bit, though, is that they basically gave away their team. Guys aren't going to be back, so we don't have to play them. We don't have to play the Tampa Bay of old. All right, Charlie Morton, we don't have to see that face. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that's getting me over what happened in San Diego is that that's not going to be the same team.
Right, there it is. So we'll look at our roster versus the rest of the division, and then we'll take it on to spring training in February. Susie Prof, Steve, this episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, bleedblueshow.com/podcast, and see Susie Prof on Twitter. It's a good dialogue with Yankee fans and for articles and content on the weekend. Song rest, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue, Susie Prof. Love talking to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.